This is a podcast that seeks justice. Justice for the lives stolen by those in society that hide amongst us every day. Hidden in our towns, cities, and countrysides, the places that we work, and sometimes in our very own homes. This is Hidden Killers.
Welcome to the podcast. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any breaking updates and stories, discussions as we have them for you right here. Today, we're joined by psychotherapist and author Siobhan Scott. We're going to be talking about Chad and Lori Daybell and kind of get more to the root of what makes Lori Lori, what makes Chad Chad. And when you combine the two of them together, the cornucopia of insanity that you seem to get. But it all started someplace. Lori Daybell's past, if you know much about it, she was a beauty queen, fame, talents. People looking at her on the surface and telling her how wonderful and great she is. And for a good portion of her life, she led a fairly narcissistic life, but led a productive life, raising a son and was, of course, raising two other children who ultimately died under her care. But prior to that, her older son talks about her being a great mom until everything completely collapsed. When you're someone who lives a fairly narcissistic lifestyle, you're drawn to praise, you're drawn to people who will simply reconfirm sometimes delusions that you may have about one's self. Does that make a person like Lori easy to fall into the hands of someone like Chad Daybell?
Yeah, that's a really good point. She's a real fascinating character because I think, yes, she certainly grew up learning that beauty, superficial charm, and manipulation can make one successful. But the dark turn that happened with her, there seemed to be kind of a demarcation where she went from, being a rather unusually narcissistic, charismatic person with some delusions of grandeur, but not dangerous, and it seemed like when the two of them got together, there was this synergistic effect. And it took on delusional proportions, because certainly when we see the murders of the children and the bizarre take that her spiritual beliefs, the track that she took, we're looking at crazy now. We're really looking at something beyond just psychopathy. And I don't want to minimize psychopathy. Psychopathy is a bad thing, and narcissism is a bad thing, and certainly fed by beauty pageant culture and all these influences on her. But there really is something about the two of those people together and his delusional way of being in the world, the narcissistic, bizarre delusions of leading religious cults. It's beyond what we typically see, because you have a lot of crazy religious leaders, or people who fancy themselves as gurus of various sorts, and very narcissistic women in, influencer culture, whatever. There's a lot of that, which is toxic and unhealthy stuff. But you don't see it to the bizarre extreme that you get with the Daybells, which makes it, again, a very unusual case psychologically.
And it's so interesting, because there's a threshold that's crossed at some point of being, a narcissist, but still functioning in society.
Exactly.
There's plenty of them out there. But to cross that line into delusion, and especially as you start to look at their communication together when they first met at that conference, and then you start looking at the text messages and the bizarre, horrid text romance novel that was written, it goes into such a weird place of delusion. But it also makes me wonder, is Chad as delusional as he comes across, or is he someone that was grooming her so he could control her? Or does he believe his bullshit just as much as everyone else?
I think they both believe their bullshit, because, they've been proven to, who murders their children?
Yeah.
There is something so obscenely wrong with this picture. And so I think if he didn't really believe his bullshit, he might be one of the typical, you know, internet preacher scam artists that we see so many of, mm-hmm. who are basically just in it for the money and the sense of power and attention that they get. But when you take it to the degree that they've taken it, and I mean, they were stupid, you know, they're not acting in a way that they're not going to get away with this. You can't just do this. Your kids can't just disappear, you know, mm-hmm. and then make up these, extremely superficial excuses to the relatives about what happened. So that's, I think, the when it gets bizarre like this, we have to go, this really is psychotic thinking. Mm-hmm. And it's rare, but it does happen that when you put two people with certain kind of significant mental health problems together, you get this shared psychotic state. And that's really what seems to be going on with the two of them, which is horrifying but fascinating to witness.
It is, because they're almost a match made in hell, as far as just on their own, crazy enough. Could they have gone down really dark paths without having met each other? Yes, and they probably would have found someone. But to have the two of them almost feeding the beast of each of their psychotic ideas, that's what made it's so scary. I mean, how does one take that break? How does one get to a place of having religion in your life, but then it's kind of, they take it a little bit further than their mainstream, and they kind of broke off and did their own thing. How does one get to the point of believing that you are literally a chosen person and you're going to rule out of a town in Idaho when the world falls apart, and somehow you're the chosen one? I mean, I don't know. How does one get there?
It truly is psychosis. And, you know, sitting down with someone diagnostically, the first thing we always want to look at is this a psychotic problem, or is it a personality problem, or is it just a situational stressor? What's going on here? And definitely what you're talking about with the Daybells, it has crossed the line into clear delusion. And that means a break from reality. And that's a biological mental health issue. So we're talking about a brain disease. They mm-hmm. both have got a severe brain condition at this point. And yeah, if they had never met each other, it very likely would not have gotten as dangerous and as severe, but they escalated each other with it.
We all talk about, well, what if this was caught sooner in cases like this, where people clearly have something very, very wrong with them. What if it was caught sooner? What if, say, her older son had met you and said, "Mom, I'd really like you to sit down and talk with this person and express kind of what you're thinking, because I'm kind of concerned." How, if you were in that situation, or whoever would be in that sort of a role, how would you handle someone like Lori Daybell coming in and telling you her delusions of grandeur and things that were just completely out of line in reality?
Yeah, it's a hard person. People with delusions of grandeur, and especially when they've got some paranoid beliefs that people are out to get them or not recognizing their brilliance, they are hard to work with. But you nailed it. If you can get them to work with you, you can redirect all that. And my God, could you get a little antipsychotic medication in that woman? You know, and sometimes when you can get them on the right medication, that delusion just deflates, which is, you know, a return to mental health. And that would have been the ideal if somebody could have caught that far, far earlier.
When someone does go down that path and luckily does get the help that they need, are they able to look back at those delusions and go, "What the hell was I thinking?"
Yes, definitely. If you can work with them and get them back out of the psychosis and into a more normal frame where they recognize reality again, often they don't even completely remember what they used to believe, mm-hmm. you know, which is fascinating. And they can watch video of themselves when they were delusional, and they'll say, "It's just hard for me to believe that that was me doing that or speaking that way," mm-hmm. you know.
Is it common that someone like this, you know, do they get help, or is it a lot of times just a path of continuing to kind of cover up their own inadequacies, especially as one gets older in the world of beauty, for example. You know, if you're not any, if you're no longer the 20 some year old beauty queen and you're aging a bit, and then that's not it. Is it always seeking to cover up something? Is that what kind of what continues to fuel a personality like that? And the fuel eventually led her into the path of Chad Daybell?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a complicating factor, her narcissism and her emphasis on her appearance. That's been certainly a way that she's had power in life, you know, for women. Beauty is currency. And she has used that and exploited that. But I do think with Chad, it fed the psychosis. And it's very hard for a person who is psychotic. Number one, almost never do they realize that they're psychotic because what they're perceiving is reality to them. And so that's what makes it so difficult to work with them and to get them to cooperate with any kind of treatment, because nothing is wrong from their point of view. And the more that you try to pressure them to get help, the more that you're out to get them. And so you become the enemy. And it's really a challenge. It's definitely not an easy thing to do. But could it have taken a different path? My God, you know, we sure can look back and probably find different points where if someone had been able to spend some time with her and get through to her early on, you know, those kids would still be alive.
I mean, it's heartbreaking, especially when you hear some of the phone calls. There was a special that was on Netflix in which her older son participated and really just laid it out, the craziness of his mom.
Yes.
And there's some of those calls where he makes them to her in prison and is expressing his sorrow and his sadness for the death of JJ and Tylee. And Lori's reaction is, I know, I miss them too. I feel horrible, something to that extent, but never recognizing that, you know, she had played a part in murdering them.
Exactly. And that's when you can go, okay, we're not just dealing with a psychopathic person here. You're dealing with someone who doesn't understand reality. I mean, her sense of what's real is not what's real to the rest of us. Mm-hmm. You know, it's as if she had no part in it. Or that, well, it's sad that it had to happen. You know, those phone calls were just heartbreaking. And you can see the struggle that her son has. You know, how do I wrap my head around this is not the mother that, you know, that he knew. It's not the mother that raised him. And so you really have a brain condition with that woman. Her thinking is not in reality.
It's truly shocking. My question was going to go to, what is she thinking? Like, what is going through her mind? I mean, right now, I know just this last week, her attorneys moved to have her charges dismissed because her constitutional rights had been violated, mm-hmm. according to them. Even though she's had trial dates on and off, but they kept getting postponed because they viewed she wasn't deemed fit to go to trial. And COVID also hit as well. Is this someone who is sitting there in prison right now still thinking, you know, what is she thinking if you were to get into her mind, in your opinion?
Yeah, a very active fantasy life. You know, she's probably sitting there talking to supernatural forces, visiting with angels, you know, a lot going on in her head, but it's not about the real world. And if she's deemed unfit to stand trial, that means very clearly in a state of psychosis that is not managed at this point.
Obviously, there's things that are going on here chemically in a brain that, you know, go beyond just conditioning. When we see Lori's mom, sister, niece being interviewed on some television specials not too long ago, they were really trying to paint a picture of joy, happiness, and nothing wrong there. Does deflection come from within a family or someone born with this mental health issue or challenge? Because obviously, Lori is a master at it, but does some of it come from, you know, it seems her own family continue to put their head in the sand, or at least for a time period had been.
Yeah, it did. I remember that interview. It did seem to be a family coping strategy. You know, we're going to think, we live in a country, again, we preach thinking positive, looking on the bright side, seeing only the good in people. You know, we hear those idioms all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's not my take. I kind of like reality. And reality means sometimes people are mentally ill and dangerous, you know.
Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, thank you so much for lending your insights into this twisted case that we continue to follow. Be sure to keep it here. Press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates and discussions on it as we have them for you. You can get a commercial-free experience of all of our podcasts if you'd like through Apple Podcasts. Just go there, try it for 3 days free and subscribe and get all of our shows in advance. And like I said, ad-free. If you like the shows, not a bad way to consume them. I'm Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod for more commentary off the air. Until next time, for all of us here, thanks for listening.